Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is Yud Ches. We're starting today on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis, a continuation of yesterday's Gemara regarding the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. We know from the Mishnah, we started the second parak of the Masechta yesterday, and we know from the Mishnah that I can't dig a pit into my property right on the border when you have a pit right next to your side of the border, because by me digging a pit on my side of the border, I'm basically going to be disrupting, disturbing, and quite frankly, destroying the pit that's on your side of the border. So that's what the Mishnah taught us. Lo yachbar adam bor samach labor shel chavero. And then the Mishnah goes on to discuss other corrosive materials that you cannot do up against the wall of your friend. So we know from the Mishnah that once you have a pit so at the border, so I can't dig a pit at the border as well. But the machlokas we saw yesterday between Abaye and Rav is the following. Do I have to anticipate that you're going to dig a ditch? Meaning, so let's say I'm the first one there at the border, and I now want to dig a ditch for water, for the purposes of water collection. And now, do I have to anticipate that you're going to dig a ditch as well? So do I have to recede, even though you have no ditch whatsoever, but do I have to anticipate that you are going to dig a ditch? So Abaye says, no anticipation is necessary. And Rav says, no, I need to anticipate. And that's the machlokas we saw yesterday. Abaye says that I can dig a ditch right up against the border as long as you don't have a pit over there. And Rava says no, I have to anticipate. And what we did yesterday in the Gemara is we had two nuschas of the Gemara in terms of exactly what the parameters were. Are we talking about a field where there is it's expected that both people are going to be digging ditches? Are we talking about a field where it's not expected where they're going to dig ditches? And so the Gemara had two nuschas. House. But without going into into that detail, that's the basic debate that we saw yesterday in the Gemara, whether or not there's a need for me to anticipate you're going to be digging a ditch. So the Gemara now is going to be spending most of today, all of today, exploring this machlokas between Abaye and Rava and seeing whether or not the Mishnayos and the Braisos are going to be supportive of one view over another view. We are starting today on the very bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Tashma. The Gemara is going to investigate. Sela Babi Adayim. Let's say the ground between our two properties is really, really soft. Right? The Gemara describes it as Sela Hababi Adayim, stones that fall in the hand. Basically, you could dig with your hands. Right? I was going to say, as an analogy goes, sand is a great analogy, right? You go to the beach, you dig, and you know. Okay, so Zecho for Bora Mikan, Zecho for Bora Mikan, Zemarchik Shosha Tvacham, Vesad Besid, Vesemarchik Shosha Tvacham, Vesad Besid. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? That it's seemingly the Mishnah is describing a scenario in which each one of them needs to recede. Meaning, and even the first guy has to recede. So the first guy is digging a dish over there, and the Mishnah says he has to recede, and the second guy as well. But that's not the issue. The Mishnah told us that the second guy needs to recede. We're talking about the first guy. The Mishnah says the first guy needs to recede. So the Gemara's response to that is Babi Adayim Shani. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're talking about a different case over here. We're talking about where the ground is so soft. So I can't dig a ditch right up against the property because the ground is so soft, it's obviously a different case. The moment I start digging, I'm going to be damaging. Rashi. Klomer. Sorry. The last Rashi in the Amud. Hachi Garcin Babi Adaim Shani Dekar La Makarela Babi Adaim Itzurch Sakadachamin Klamar Hu Dinafagav De Lo Babi Adaim Vahai Dinaka Bi Adaim Rabusa Ashminen Dafagav De Babi Adaim Itzurch Laarchik Elo Shloshet Tfachim. Well, that's already. I'm sorry. That Rashi over there is already explaining the Chiddush of the Gemara. But I'm sorry. It's too early to read that Rashi. But the point of the Gemara is that that this is going to be a different case because the ground is so soft. Okay. Now let me continue. The Gemara says, Babi Adayim Shani. Udi Karila Mai Karila. And the Gemara says, and look, and this distinction that we just made is so obvious. And the Gemara makes this point often when the answers are kind of built in already. We knew what the answer was going to be, and you knew what the answer was going to be. Why did you even ask the question to begin with? So, Babi Adayim Mitzrichle. Now we could say it. So the Gemara says, the Chiddush goes like this. Sakdach, I mean, I might have thought, given the Babi Adayim Li Bainami Rav Chatfe. The ground is so soft, 3 tvachim distance, maybe you need more. Maybe for such soft ground, maybe it needs to be 6 tvachim, 10 tvachim, whatever. But, Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that even though the ground is so soft, but all you need to do is receive 3 tvachim. But the Gemara says this no longer serves as a proof for Rava. We're talking about a scenario in which we're talking about a scenario in which the ground is so soft, and therefore this case is going to be different. Notably over here, just I'll mention it, but I'm not going to go into it. Tosfos has a different girsa of the Gemara. Now, you knew Tosfos was going to have a different girsa than the Gemara, because when you look at the Rashi that I just read, the Rashi starts off with the words Hachi Garsinan. Right? This is a girsa, which means when Rashi says that, it means that there are other girsos, and Rashi's telling you this is the girsa he prefers. So you take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos has a different girsa of how the question went, how the answer went. Okay, we're going to continue. We're in the very bottom of Yotayin Amid Beis. Tashma Marchikin Es Agefes Ves Azevel Ves Amelach Ves Asid Ves Asalayim Mikoso Shoch Chaveru Gimel Tfachim. Now we're going on in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah describes how, if let's say there's a wall along the Meitzar, right on the border there's a wall, so you can't put the refuse of the olive, nor manure, nor salt, nor lime up or flintstone against the wall of your friend, and you have to receive three tfachim. Okay, now osad besid, or you have to plaster with lime, create some sort of barrier between these corrosive materials and the wall. Fine. So time of the kakosa, now the implication over here is that there's a wall, but how like kakosa? But if there's no wall, and therefore by putting these corrosive items right at the border, seemingly from the Mishnah, there's no problem whatsoever. How like kakosa somech? So you could put it right up against the border. And this would be a kasha against Rava, and this would be a support for Abaye. Now, let's make the following observation. It's a little bit strange that the Gemara is asking these questions now against Rava. Let's consider. Meaning, what was our issue? The issue was is that I'm going to be digging a pit at the border, and do I need to anticipate that you're going to be digging a pit? Because once I have a pit down in the ground, you can't move the pit. Meaning that pit's there now. And so therefore, I have to anticipate, says Rava, that you're going to want to dig a pit as well. So even though I dug my pit first, I have to receive. That's Rava's position. Over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about laying down corrosive material at the border. You know what you can end up doing? If necessary, you'll pick it up and you'll move it. So it's a little bit strange that the Gemara is making a comparison of these cases of the Mishnah versus the first case of the Mishnah where you had the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. Okay, and Tosfos made this observation. Take a look at Tosfos on the bottom of Yuzayin Amud Beis. Marchikin Es Agefes V'chulei Tam Medika Kosa V'chulei. So Tosfos just quoted the sugya that we just read. And Perish V'kasha L'Rava V'teima My Kusha Hachavadeh Motel Esmach B'shein Kosa Shein Maziklum. So Tosfos is bothered by the question that I just articulated. I don't understand. What's the problem with laying down corrosive items right at the border? U'chishiyachvas Olasos Kosa Yasir Segefes. Let's say now you've decided to build a wall. So once you've decided to build a wall, take all these corrosive items and just pick them up and move them. So why did the Gemara feel that this is such a good kasha? Tosfos is bothered. Tosfos answers. V'yesh lamer dahani nami mekakel nesakarka v'yazik lekosa lechishi yibana afilu shuv yasir. So one answer Tosfos says is as follows. These corrosive items are going to be detrimental to the ground. They will attack the ground and the integrity of the ground. And much like the pit, where you dig the pit right up against the property line, so you're going to be now, when he wants to dig a pit, so you're going to be affecting his wall. Here too, these corrosive items, even after they're removed, are going to be damaging to the ground. The odomari debechol hani, sorry, debechol elu yesh tarech besilukan ulakach meati yachol akev alav ki yesh lachu shem aloyim ayer lasalko ki shiir talasos kosel. Another suggestion says Tosfos is because these items are so corrosive, you're never really going to move them. Meaning when you put down things, right? When you put down, right? I just had this with cans of paint. they're just I can't throw them out in the garbage, so they just sit there. So there's a center up in up 441. Oh, you know it. So where you could take it and you can move it. But Tosha says that when you put down things which are corrosive, it's a lot of trouble to move it. And the concern, of course, is that you're not going to move it. Anyway, Tosha is giving a couple of suggestions of why it is that these cases are comparable to the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. So let's go back now to what we learned. So again, let's...
fill it up.
Enochinami. Right, right. So the so where do we stand right now? So the Mishnah says that when I put down all these corrosive items, I have to, if there's a wall, I have to recede 3 tefachim into my property. If there's no wall, seemingly I can move it up right up against the property. And this would then it would be a support for Abaye, Akasha and Rava. So the Gemara now is going to answer. We're now on the top of Yudches Amud Aleph. So time adika kosa like a kosal samech. Without a wall, you could put it right up against the border, which would support Abaye's position. Lo. The Gemara says this is not going to be a support for Abaye's position. He like a kosal nami lo samech. No, truth of the matter is that even without a wall, you can't put it up right up against the border. The Mishnah over here is being informative. The Mishnah is not, we're not there to make a deal from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is just giving us some basic information. These are corrosive materials. These will be detrimental to the wall. That's all the Mishnah is trying to teach us. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, well, let's continue. Other things that you cannot put up right up against the wall, seeds, the plow, urine. These are things that you have to recede 3 tefachim from the wall. And again, the Gemara is going to make the same diuk. Time adika kosa like a kosa samech. So that means that only because there's a wall, I can't put it right against the wall. But if there's no wall and there's just a border, meaning just a borderline, so I could put it right up against the borderline. And this would again seem to be akasha against Rava, and it would support Abaye. So the Gemara says lo ki like a kosa namilo samech. The Gemara says no. Again, don't make the diuk. Truth of the matter is that these are the acidic urine, the machareisha, the plow. These things are detrimental, and I cannot put them up right up against the border, even if there's no wall. So the Gemara says that basically what the Mishnah wants to teach us is this idea of what's called water damage, right? That when water seeps into the wall, I just had this. When water seeps into the wall, so it's kashla kosel, so it's bad for the wall. So that's what the Mishnah wants to tell us. Again, it's not for the purpose of a diuk, it's the purpose of simple information. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, how about the following? Ezrechaim gimel minashachav shein dal minarechav. Again, we're going back to our Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that a millstone cannot be put up against the wall. You have to distance the millstone from the wall, 3 tvachim, 4 tvachim. Remember, the base of it came in on a slant. So if you're measuring from one part of the base, it's 4 tvachim. If you're measuring from another part of the base of 3 tefachim. Anyway, you have to take the millstone and move it away from the border. So time of the Ika Kosa, but only because there's a wall. Halakha Kosa Samech, but without a wall, I can put it right up against the border. And again, supportive of Abaye. So the Gemara says, Loki, Halakha Kosa Namelo Samech. And again, the Gemara says, no, look, don't make the diuk. Ve'ela Maika Mashmalan, Haka Mashmalan de Teria Kashla Kosa. The vibrations of the millstone is bad for the wall. Right? You're going to be grinding the millstone, right? It's obviously in the grinding, it's going to cause a vibration. That vibration will be bad for the wall. That's all the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Again, it's informational. The Gemara continues. Tashma v'esatona shosha mina kal yashahin dal mina safa. The oven also has to be receded from the wall. Again, the same basic idea. That the base of the oven is on a slant, so measuring from one part of the base of the oven, it's 4 tefachim, from another part, it's 3 tefachim, but again, the same basic idea. The oven has to be receded from the wall. And again, time adika kosa halakha kosa samech. It's seemingly, without a wall, you could put the oven right up against the border, which is supporting Abaye, kasha and rava. Lo, ki leka kosa nami lo samech, ve'la mai kamashmalan, hakamashmalan, dehiv la kasha la kosa. And again, the Mishnah is there for the purpose of information, not the diuk. The information that heat is bad for the wall. So don't put an oven right up against the wall. Tashma. Okay, so we have now gone through the entirety of our Mishnah. The Mishnah seemingly is the support for Abaye, seemingly Akash against Rava, and for every line of the Mishnah, the Gemara defended Rava. Tashma. We are now going to be quoting from another Mishnah. This Mishnah is coming up just a couple days from now in the Daf, and the Mishnah talks about the following. Lo yiftach adam chanusha nachtomim, v'shal tzavayim tachas otzor shal chavero, v'lo refes bakar. Okay, we're talking now about a two-story house, two-story building. A person on the bottom floor cannot open up a bakery or dyer underneath Otsaro Shel Chavero, the warehouse of his friend. So in other words, on the second floor, you have a person who is storing all of his wheat and or his olives. Okay, he's using it for storage for his produce. And now what the Mishnah is telling us is that if you're living on the first floor, So you can open up a bakery or you can open up a dyer. What you're going to be doing in the bakery or in the dyeing is you're going to be lighting up an oven. Right, for the bakery, you're going to be have an oven for the baking of the bread. For the dyeing, you have the pot where you're going to be cooking the dye, the material. So there, you're basically going to be causing heat to go up into the second floor. And because the second floor is already using it for storage for his wheat, for his produce, so you're going to be damaging it. So the Mishnah says that you cannot open up neither the bakery nor the dye in the first floor. Below refesh al bakar, and also don't use the first floor for storage of manure, because the fume and the exhaust of the manure is going to go up, and again it's going to put a smell in that produce that's going to obviously be terrible. So time of deko it's like otsar oven. So the Gemara says, okay, now the deko goes like this. That's only because the second story already is using the second floor for his storehouse. Without that, you're allowed to do it. So again, it would be supportive of Abaye. Abaye says, I can take something which is damaging, corrosive, right, intrusive, and put it right up against the border. Now, obviously over here, we're not talking about a field on the border, but first floor, second floor, it's the same basic idea. Meaning, I know that the exhaust is going to go up into the first floor, and I know that the second floor is going to catch a whiff of either the bread we're baking, the dye we're cooking, or the manure that's sitting there. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says that the only thing that's going to prevent me from doing this is only because he's using it already as a storehouse on the second floor. But outside of that, I'm allowed to. And again, this would be support for Abaye, and it's difficult for Rava. The Gemara gives a two-word answer, Dira Shani. So the Gemara's answer is, yeah, but over here, it's a Dira, and therefore it's different. And what does the Gemara mean by this answer? So Rashi explains. We're going to go with Rashi's Pshat. Take a look at the top of the Amud, Rashi's fourth line down. Dirashani Chanos Verefes Bakar Dirasan Shal Adan Hain. Not only is the baker baking on the first floor, but it's also residence as well. And the Ein Lanu Les or Diraso Alav Ela Im Kain Haezek Muchan. And now, what do you want to tell him? You want to tell him, look, you can't live here and you can't bake here. No, he can. He can live here and he can bake here. In other words, he could basically use it for his residential need and also for his, now I'm going to say commercial need as well. In other words, I'm not really sure how much this is commercial, how much it's, you know, just a business. It sounds like from the Gemara's answer, it's a blend of being both residential and being commercial as well. But the idea is that once he is using it for his own personal use, so then he could do with it what he wants. And the only thing that will prevent him from baking is only if the second floor already has an otzer there. But outside of that, though, he's within his right to do his activity within his residence. So the Gemara says, "Dekan Nami." The Gemara says, "I'll tell you what. This answer we just gave is a good answer, because let's look at the Braisa. Didni Allah." On this mission of the Gemara quotes now a Braisa. Im Haisa Refes Bakar Kedemas Otsa Mutter. The Braisa says explicitly that if the first floor is using it for storing his manure, and he did it before the second floor is using it for produce, so then it would be Mutter. So sequence, order, obviously is significant. Why is sequence significant? So again, this goes back to the Gemara's idea that it just communicated, because it has to do with Adira. Once I am allowed to live in the first floor, so that I can also make usage of the first floor as well, even for those things which are going to be potentially detrimental to the person living on the second floor, that doesn't matter. As long as I'm here first, so then it's going to be fine. Only when the second floor already has been using it for produce, then and only then it's going to impede my ability to use the first floor for things that are detrimental. Okay, so again at this point in time, so far it's been Kasha and Rava, Kasha and Rava, Kasha and Rava, and the Gemara has been successfully defending Rava. Tashma. Lo yita adam ilan samach lasada elan kein hirchik memenu dalet amos. Okay, I cannot plant a tree at the border of my field. I have to reseed it for amos. Now, if you remember yesterday, we said 25 amos. No, don't be confused. We only said 25 amos when there's a tree and there's a pit. There has to be a distance of 25 amos, because the tree is going to be basically be looking for the pit. So there has to be a distance of 25 amas. We're just talking now about a regular tree. No, there's no pit in the next door neighbor. And I know that when I have a tree, I'm going to be working the tree. And I'm going to be taking the machareisha, the plow, and going all the way around the tree. And what if now I were to plant the tree right up against the border? What I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to be taking my plow and having to go onto my neighbor's property in order to work my tree. My neighbor's obviously not going to want that. I therefore have to receive the tree 4 amas into my property so that I know and my neighbor will know that we're always going to be in a situation where he's going to be, even when he's working on his tree, be situated on his property, not on my property. That's the Mishnah.
You have to anticipate that he will build a bore on the other side.
Well, just 1 second. That's coming up later. Utani Allah. And the Gemara says, and on this we have the following price. Why 4 amas? So I gave it away already, but the Gemara says avodas hakerem, because you're going to be working the vineyard, meaning you know that when you plant a tree, you need the room around the tree in order to work it. So therefore, in order to ensure that you're not going to be encroaching on your neighbor's property, therefore you have to take the tree and recede it into your property by 4 amas. So far, so good. And now the Gemara is going to make the diuk. Time mishum kedei avodas hakerem. Why do you have to take your tree and recede it into your property? Because of this idea that of working the tree, so you need room to work. Halav mishum kedei avodas hakerem samech. Now, if we were to remove that reason, so then you'd be allowed to take the tree and move it right up against your neighbor's property. And once again, afagav deika sharashim dekamaske. Over here, you know there's going to be roots that are going to be going into your neighbor's property, and you know the roots are going to be harmful to your neighbor, and yet you're allowed to do it. And again, this now would seem to be supportive of Abaye, and it's difficult for Rava. Rava says you must anticipate potential damage that occurs. Over here, yes, you have to recede your tree, but only because of the reason of avodas kerem. Without that reason, it would be fine. And according to Rava, it shouldn't be fine. So So the Gemara says, okay, but we're talking about a specific scenario over here where there is a stone wall, a subterranean stone wall. So in other words, that existing between my property and your property is a barrier, a subterranean barrier, so that I know that the roots will not be going into your property. That's what the Mishnah and the Brice are describing. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, in fact, look at what the Braisa teaches us. It teaches us that if there's a wall separating the two properties, so then I can take a tree and plant it right up against my friend's property. And think about it, it really makes perfect sense. What's the only reason why I have to recede my tree into my property? Because I'm going to be taking the plow and I'm going to be wanting to go around the entire tree. If there's a fence or a wall separating my property and his property, I physically can't then go onto the side of the tree that's facing his property. There's a wall there. So the Braisa says under those circumstances it would be fine. So that shows you that the issue is an issue of avodas hakerem. So the Gemara says, well, why don't you keep reading in the Mishnah and the Braisa? Now, the Braisa continues and describes. Now, we're looking now not at the property that the tree was planted, but at the neighboring property. What did the Braisa say? That if there are roots growing into your neighbor's property, so now what your neighbor has every right to do is to go 3 tefachim into the ground in order to cut the roots. And of course, because he's going to want to take his plow and he's going to want to plow into the ground. And he does not want the roots to destroy his plow. So what he's allowed to do is go into the ground, cut the roots that are growing 3 tefachim into his ground. Now, the Gemara notes, V'idah mafsik tsunama. Now remember what you suggested just a moment ago, that there's a subterranean wall separating my property and your property. If there is such a wall, there are not going to be roots growing in. So ma bo hasam, what are the roots doing over there if there's such a subterranean wall? Hachi kamar, so the Gemara says, well, we could suggest the following pshat. V'ilav tsunama v'yushar roshav yosim l'soch shol chavero ma'amik shol shetvachim k'dei shol yikav v'machareisha. You're right. The Braisa was describing two different scenarios. If there's a subterranean wall, so then the roots would not encroach onto the other person's property, and then you're good. And then there are not going to be roots. But if there is no subterranean wall, and now there are roots that are going now into your neighbor's property, your neighbor has every right to remove the roots that are 3 tefachim deep, so that when he plows his land, so the roots will not encroach onto his... I'm sorry. The roots will not damage the machareisha. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it is pshita, but in other words, at first, this didn't read well into the brisa. So what the work the Gemara needed to do was just simply read that all that into the brisa, because the brisa didn't read that way.
Why is it talking about the depth of pre-cooking, not the... surface.
I guess I would say like him, meaning if it's on the surface, then that's pasha. Yeah. The chiddush is that you can even dig into the ground in order to remove the roots.
Even if you destroyed the tree by doing this, you have to do it.
I agree. I'm asking. Okay. Tashma. Okay, on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, about three quarters of the way down in the Gemara, and here is now our continuing discussion. Again, by Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Rava says that you must anticipate that your friend is going to be digging a ditch, and therefore, even though you're the first person digging a hole on your property, on your side of the property, you must recede in anticipation that he's going to want to dig a ditch as well. And basically, now we know we can extend that to anything which is corrosive and damaging. I have to anticipate that he's going to want to build the wall, and therefore anything I lay down, which is corrosive, which is damaging, must be receded into my property. And Abaye says, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to anticipate. If there's currently no damage that's being done by me digging a ditch, or me laying down corrosive material, or me planting a tree, I could do it right up against my, right up to the borderline, and I do not have to anticipate the future. That is Abaye's position. What we have been seeing is our Mishnah, the Mishnah Daf Chaf, Braisos, which all seemingly support Abaye, but the Gemara now has answered up in defense of Rava this entire time.
According to Abaye, if he plants a tree, does the other guy have a right to cut the roots?
If the roots are in other words, if the roots are going into his property and they're going to be damaging the plow.
Abaye will be allowed to.
Okay. Tashma. Marchikin asayilam and aboras and v'chameshama. So we're going to go now to the Mishnah, which we've already seen once. We're going to see it again. This is like going to be like a common Mishnah. If I'm going to plant a tree and my neighbor has a pit, so there must be 25 amas distance between the tree and the pit. That's from v'chamesh ama. So time adik abor, like abor samich. So again, so the mitigating issue is the fact that my neighbor already has a pit. But if he does not have a pit, what sounds like pshat in the Mishnah is that I can plant the tree anywhere where I want on my property, even and up to including the border. So once again, the simple reading of the Mishnah is going to support Abaye, and it's going to be Kasha and Rava. So lo, the Gemara says no. Ki lo kabor nami lo samach. Truth of the matter is, says the Gemara, is that even without a pit, I cannot put the tree right up against the border. Again, what the Mishnah is just doing is providing information. Don't be medayik from the Mishnah. When the Mishnah is just simply saying that a safe distance between tree and pit is 25 amas. Now the Gemara says, let's continue now in the Mishnah. If the tree was there before the pit, so then you have no need to cut the tree. Now the idolo samech. Now if you're saying like Rava that we're never going to get to the situation to begin with, because I always have to anticipate, and being that I always have to anticipate, I must plant my tree 25 amas receded into my property. How do we ever get to the situation where the tree came before the pit? The tree's never going to come before the pit. According to Rava, I'm always going to be receding. I'm always going to be anticipating. So the Gemara says, so how do we ever get to the scenario? So the Gemara says, where in just a moment we're going to see Rapapa answers another question with the answer of Lokeach. We're going to take that answer, we're going to apply it over here. What is the answer of Lokeach? Rashi explains, and again I'm going to go with Rashi's Pshat. Rashi explains that basically here's what happened. I had a property and I planted a tree in the middle of my property, in a safe distance from the border, 25 amas away from any border. So I'm good. And now what happens is that I sell half my property. And I happen to sell my property right up to the point of the tree. Now, I'm certainly within my right to sell a parcel of my property, but now we have a scenario, a situation in which, okay, so now my tree is right up against the border. Even according to Rava, you can have such a scenario, because when I originally planted my tree, I planted at a safe distance. Now that I sold the parcel on my property, and now that my tree is right up against the border, now I need the halacha to teach me that because my tree was there first, if now the person who bought the property wants to dig a ditch, and he's digging it within proximity proximity of my tree, now I need to hear, I don't have to move my tree. Because when I planted my tree, I did so with permission, meaning birishus, legitimately, and therefore there's no need for me to cut down my tree. That's the case of the Mishnah according to Rava, as explained by Rav Papa. Tashma. Marchikin as a Mishnah in a
yerk. You wouldn't be allowed to cut the roots in this case.
Right now, let's keep the roots and the tree separate. I mean, the roots are a separate issue. The roots are damaging to the other person. But in other words, I don't have to cut my tree down. Okay. The Tashma. Marchikin as a Mishnah in a yerk, vesa kreshim in a bitsam, vesa chardam in a devar. Okay. I have to distance the flax water from the vegetables, and the leeks from the onions, and the mustard from the bees. Okay. Again, if you're into agriculture, all this speaks to you. You're looking at all this, and you're like, yes, that's right. I know.
Yeah.
The flax water and then the vegetables. Oh, what a terrible combination. Okay. So again, you know me with these kinds of gemaras. I'm going to take the gemara at face value. Let's assume that they are detrimental, and let's explain now based on the assumption that they're detrimental. So, you have flax water and you have vegetables. So, you cannot, if my neighbor already has vegetables planted over there, so I can put flax water, I cannot deposit flax water on my side of the property right up against where he planted his vegetables, because my flax water is going to be detrimental to his vegetables. Example number two, leeks and onions. So, I have to distance the leeks from the onions, meaning if my neighbor already has onions that are planted in his property, so the leeks are going to be detrimental to the onions. So therefore, I have to move my leeks back, recede them into my property before planting my leeks. And finally, chardam and devarim. If my neighbor has what's that called? The
beehive.
Oh,
you mean?
The beehive, a bee farm. Okay, whatever. Yeah, beehive. So if my neighbor has a beehive, and so I can't plant the mustard seeds right up against it because the mustards are going to be detrimental to the bees. Okay. Wait just one second. Why are the mustards going to be detrimental to the bees? So the what's going to end up happening, says Rashi, is Ochlin es achadal. I'm reading the Rashi. Ochlin es achadal mechadetis bihem v'ochles es dvash lahem. So what's going to happen? So explains Rashi. This is the science. Okay, I'm using the term in an old fashioned sense, but the science behind this is that the bee's going to eat the mustard. In other words, the bee's going to move over into the other property, eat the mustard. They're going to get that very sharp taste in their mouth, then they're going to want to wash it out. And so what they're going to want to then do is that they're going to consume their own honey. And basically, by you planting or placing the mustard right up against your neighbor's bees, so you're going to basically be depleting them of their honey. Okay, so let me see if I can say it now very simply. The flax water is detrimental to the vegetables. The leeks are detrimental to the honey. I'm sorry, to the onions, and the mustard is detrimental to the bees. So, in all these three scenarios, it therefore is an incumbent upon all three of these examples, meaning the person who is the mazik, to go ahead and to recede it into their property. Just give me a moment, and I'll pause afterwards to discuss. Taima de'ika yerek. Now over here, why do I have to take the flax water and recede into my property? Only because my neighbor currently has vegetables growing in his garden. Halakha yerek samech. But I don't have to anticipate. And if he currently does not have vegetables, I could take my flax water and put it right against the property. Once again, it supports abaye. For the eighth, ninth time, it seems to be that the pashup shot in the Mishnah is that there's no need for me to anticipate. Only if there's a current and present danger in me putting the flax water by the border, I have to recede. But if not, there's no need for me to recede. So the Gemara says, Loki, Laki Yerek Namelo Samach. So the Gemara says, no, truth of the matter is that even without vegetables, I cannot put the flax water right up against the border. And again, the Gemara gives the answer that it has been giving all morning, and that is that the Mishnah over here is just simply being informational, meaning the Mishnah wants to make sure that we know that flax water is detrimental to vegetables. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but then there's one more part to the Mishnah that's going to be very difficult, and that is that the Mishnah over here, the Brice over here, is going to introduce us to a Tana who disagrees. Rabbi Yossi matir bechardal mimeshiyachol lomer lo acha to omer lo harchek chardalcham in devarai harchek devarcham in chardalai shabbos ochlos liglulei chardalai. Rabbi Yossi says that I'm going to agree in the case of the flax water and in the case of the onions, I'll agree in those situations. It is incumbent upon the mazik to recede. However, when it comes to the case of the bees and the mustard, Rav Yossi says that as much as the bee owner can say to the mustard, your mustard is doing a terrible job to my bees, forcing basically my bees to eat the honey, and your mustard is causing me and my honey a loss. To which now, the planter of the mustard can say to the bees, "You know what your bees are doing to my mustard? They're eating my mustard seeds." So, in other words, so Reb Yossi is making the argument that in the case of the bees and the mustard, it's not that one is a mazik to the other; they is competing mazikim. They're both going to be damaging one another. So, as much as one can make a taina to one, the other can make a taina to the other. Okay, that is Shitas Reb Yossi. Now, obviously, there's a simple question to raise right now, and that was who was there first.
It's not even mazikin, because you can't say to the guy, look, your bees are going to my pocket, keep them in your pocket.
So,
it's nothing to do with mazikin, the mustard even.
Now, the ida lo samech. Now, the Gemara says, now let's assume like Rava, which is that I have to anticipate. Now, let's think this through. If we're holding like Rava, where I need to anticipate that my neighbor is going to put something down over there, that this will be damaging too, so that means I always have to recede. So according to Rava, when I'm planting mustards, I must keep the mustards at a safe distance from the border. And when I'm putting down a beehive, I must put the beehives at a safe distance from the border. So, question. According to Rava, how are we ever here at this point in time where we have the bee owner and the mustard and the mustard garden and the owners of these two properties who are arguing with one another about who needs to back off from whom? According to Rava, everyone went at a safe distance because everyone had to anticipate the other person. So now it happens to be that we already know the answer to this question because we used Rav Papa's answer previously based on that which Rav Papa said now. Now we get to see what Rav Papa said originally. I'm Rav Papa Belokeach. So the Gemara says Rav Papa's talking about a case where it's Lokeach, meaning that when the mustard seeds were planted or when the when the beehive was put down, or any of these other cases, right? When the vegetable patch was grown, when the flax water was put down on the ground, we're talking about where originally you own the entire field. You put it somewhere in the middle of the field, and then what you did is you sold the parcel of your property, and now it is at the border. That's the scenario in which the Bryce is talking about. So, Ibalokech, my time at the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, oh, really? That's interesting. So, in other words, we're talking about a case where you originally planted or you put down any of these damaging items, you did it in a safe place. And then you sold part of your property. And now what? According to the Chachamim, you must receive. Why?
Right.
When you originally put it down, you did it beheter.
Also, when the guy bought the land adjacent, he knew what he was getting.
Okay, good. The ode, my time at the Rav Yossi, Afila Mishra V'Yerakanami. And the Gemara says, and furthermore, let's think about the sheet of Rav Yossi. What did Rav Yossi teach us? That in the case of the chardal, in the case of the bees, so there could be competing claims. You know, yes, it's true that my mustard is detrimental to your bees, but your bees are detrimental to my mustard. So if that's true, according to Rav Yossi, so Mishra V'Yirakonami. So in the case of the flax water, in the case of the vegetables, can we not make the same argument? Now, there's an obvious distinction. The Gemara is going to make it in just a moment. But right now, the Gemara wants to know, according to Rav Yossi, if we're talking about a case of lokeach, that means that when it was put down, there was put down the beheter. So then what's the difference between the case of the mustard and bees versus the other cases as well? So the Gemara says, well, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, look, yes, it's true. When we originally planted the when I originally put down the leeks, so it was in the middle of the field. And yes, it's true. At the time, I did so by Rishos, and I sold part of my land. And now the mazikin, these damaging items, are at the border. The Chachamim will tell you, I know you planted a beheter. I understand that. But I still say to you, it becomes, you're the mazik, and therefore it becomes your responsibility to take your item and to move it back. And yes, it's true that when you placed it there originally, it was done beheter. But still, you're the mazik, and therefore it's your obligation, your responsibility to move it back. Now, Mechlal, so fine, the Gemara says, fine. But then, Mechlal de Rav Yossi Savra ala nizik l'archik es atzmo. So the Gemara says, and that means that Rav Yossi, who obviously is disagreeing, so Rav Yossi says that no, that it now becomes the nizik's responsibility to recede. So, I ala nizik afilo mishra v'yirakonami. But if that's really Rav Yossi Shita, so then, in the case of not just the mustard and bee case, but in the case of the flax water, in the case of the leeks, it also should be the responsibility of the nizak, the one who is going to get damaged, to move back. So alalolam Rav Yossi nami alamazik sfirlei. So the Gemara says that really the truth of the matter is that the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi is not so fundamental. Meaning Rav Yossi agrees that it's the mazik's responsibility to recede, just like it's a chachamim's position that's the mazik's position to recede. V'hachi kamalu Rav Yossi l'rabbanan. And now, as far as what is the debate between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim, it goes like this. Tenach mishra v'iraka dahane maskehani v'hani l'maskehani. In the case of the flax water and the vegetables, where flax damages vegetables, the flax water is detrimental to the vegetables, but the vegetables are not detrimental to the flax water. So you have now only one mazik in such a scenario, and therefore it becomes the responsibility of the one with the flax water to bring his flax water back into his property to recede. But Rav Yossi says to the Chachamim, but here's where I disagree with you on. In the case of the mustard and the bees, where they are both damaging to one another. So I agree with you that the mazik's responsibility to recede, but over here, you have shnei mazikim. You have both the one who planted the mustard seeds and the one who put down the beehive, they're both damaging one another. So therefore, there I will not say that it's one person's job to recede, because you do not have a defined mazik and a defined nizak. They're both mazikin. And what the Chachamim will tell you is that we disagree in terms of your labeling both as mazikin. We think that the bees are not damaging the mustard, but the mustard is damaging the bees. Why? Ibe bin nasa la mishkachale. Now, as far as the seeds are concerned, the bees don't know where the seeds are. The mustard seeds are. They're planted underground, so they're not going to find it. And ibe tarfa hadapari. And if the bees are going to be eating the leaves of the mustard plant, so that's going to come back. So there's no real damage that's done from the bees to the mustard. Masha enkein. There's real damage done from the mustard to the bees. Because going back to what we said earlier, once the bees get that taste of the mustard in the mouth, they're going to then eat out all of their own honey. So the mustard's going to be damaging to the bees. So, where do we stand right now in terms of understanding the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi in the context of Rava, who says that it's, oh, you need to anticipate? So here's where we stand right now. Generally speaking, we're never going to get to the case where the bees and the honey are going to be planted right up against the border, because I need to anticipate. We're only talking about a scenario in which I planted my mustard seeds in my field, in the center of my field, and then what I did is I sold some of my field. Under those circumstances, now we can have a scenario in which I'll have the mustard seeds right up against the property line, and he'll have the bees right up against the property line, and now the machlok between the Chachamim and Rav Yossi is basically a question of labeling. According to the Chachamim, only the mustards are detrimental to the bees, but not vice versa. And Rav Yossi says, no, they're both mutually detrimental to one another.
Bees can fly very fast.
You can't ask me a kasha of what the nature of the bees are. When we learn Gemara's like this, you have to assume there are the basic assumptions of the Gemara, so you have to assume that. I'm not.
But how about the leek in the onion case? I can see the water, the damage of the
again, I'm going to...
Who is the mazik?
The Gemara's assumption is that the leaks...
The onion by doing what?
I don't know.
Is that the roots going there?
Again, it's an assumption the Gemara makes, and I don't know. I can't...
Talk about that.
I know, I understand that.
Just like the mustard we generate, can you say that the honey can generate?
Gemara assumes that once the honey is consumed, that's it. Okay. The Savar Rav Yossi Lamazik Laharchik Et Asma Vatanan. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Yossi, where the Mazik, it's the Mazik's responsibility to distance himself, but the Gemara says, but what about the Mishnah? Rav Yossi Amar Alpha Pi Shehabor Kodem Sli Ilan Lo Yikosh Shezeh Chofer Besoch Shelo Vezeno Teh Besoch Shelo. Rav Yossi's position is that the tree does not need to get cut down. Each one of them is working within their own property. It is not the mazik's responsibility to distance himself from the nizak. So the Gemara says that Rav Yossi does fundamentally disagree with the Chachamim. And Rav Yossi says that it really is the nizak's responsibility to move away. So now if that's true, so now here we are at the case of the mustard and the bees, and Rav Yossi says there's really no responsibility for the damager to move away, but rather the damagee. And if that's true, so then what's Rav Yossi talking about over here? So, and as far as over here is concerned, the dialogue that's taking place over here really is not between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim, but Rav Yossi is just trying to understand the Chachamim. Meaning Rav Yossi is saying to the Chachamim, I don't get you. Look, you want my shita? My shita is, I think the mazik does not need to move away and does not need to back off. So as far as I'm concerned, as long as you planted your mustard seed there first, so you can keep your mustard seed there first, and that's true regarding the leeks, and that's true regarding the flax water as well. But you are of the opinion that it's the mazik's responsibility to recede. So I understand where, in the case of the flax water, there it's one directional detriment where the flax water is going to be damaging the vegetables, not vice versa. So I get you over there. But in the case of the bees and the honey, they are both damaging one another. Therefore, it should be the responsibility of both parties to recede. And what's the Chachamim's response? So, and the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Yossi is, no, we disagree with your premise. You think that the honey and the bees and the mustard are mutually damaging to one another? We disagree with you fundamentally. We think that it's one directional, just like the case of the flax and the vegetables. Okay, so let's quickly recap. Okay, the Gemara basically was one singular point today, and that is Abaye and Rava, who seems to be more supported by the Mishnayos and the Braisos. Abaye says that you could take a ditch and dig it right up against the border. Rava says, no, you cannot. You must anticipate your neighbor's going to want to do the same as well. And basically, question of the day is, do I have to anticipate that my neighbor's going to want to do something right at the border? Rava says, you have to anticipate. Abaye says, you do not need to anticipate. And what we've gone through is, today, a litany of Mishnayos and Braisos. Most of them seem to also be supportive of Abaye. I do not need to anticipate. The Gemara has been doing, most of the work today has been defending Rava, in which the Gemara says that these cases are, all the Mishnayos and all the Braisos are not to be used as an attack on Rava. The Gemara explained each one of them, up to and including the last part, where even the case of the bees and the honey, the Gemara says there as well, it's not necessarily an attack on Rava. It could be that the case is where they are mutually detrimental one to another.